Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie Simon. Jacaranda FM.
Now, let's play some music.
Let's do that.
That's the other reason why you're here.
Yes.
And I see you like, I thought we were going to get like death metal and stuff.
I know it's your show, but it's Jacaranda. So I was like, yeah, let's try and.
You've got a nice spread of everything here. It's very nice. And later on, we're going to do the, we've got a little surprise for you.
Oh,
we've got six dishes.
Ah, well.
I call them dishes.
Yes.
You know, but they don't wear dresses.
They don't wear dresses, so right.
Yeah, little bowls, and you're going to have to, we're going to blindfold you. Are you okay with that?
Are you going to blindfold me and put something mysterious in my mouth? Because yeah. I'm not falling for that one again,
No,
Bobby.
Come on, we're going to do it tonight.
You did that in Sun City. It didn't end well. You have to give me some tequila first.
That was at the 19th hole of the Gary Plan.
That's what you called it, but it didn't taste like it.
So we got a bag here. Do you want this bag over your head? Like, you're going to have this bag over your head or a Jacaranda FM t-shirt, right?
Let's go with the Jacaranda FM t-shirt.
I thought you'd go for the bag. So we can put little holes in there and you can look like that TV ad. With What was it, Toyota?
Oh, the dog.
Yeah. Just do it quickly.
It was just my voice.
Well, do it.
It's, hi, I'm Buddy the Boxer.
No, it doesn't sound like the one on TV.
Yeah, I have to channel the dog.
Right, let's kick off with Golden Brown.
Golden Brown by the Stranglers.
Why do you like the song?
I don't know.
Okay, let's play it.
It just appeals to me.
Okay, let's play it. This is Jacaranda FM. It is Barney and Friends, Chris Forrest here, 379-42 at a cost of R1.50. Send us your silly jokes and let's see if you can make him laugh. Jacaranda FM, lovely Wednesday night, live from Monte Cassino. I'm Barney Simon, Barney and Friends, not the purple one, the white one. And my good old friend Chris Forrest is here. I go dragged him out of the forest. Two R's or one R? Two R's.
Two R's.
Just checking. R's.
R's.
But obviously you're at a roll, no? In Afrikaans. Or.
R.
Now.
Den Voda in Afrikaans. Yes.
That song. You know, never made it to number one in the UK. Do you know why? It stayed at number two. There was one song that said, sorry, dudes, you can't get to number one. Can you imagine that feeling? You had number two, it's your first big hit, and it was Town Called Malice.
Oh, really?
The Jam, yeah.
But that Town Called Malice, it's a classic, but it's not as good as Golden Brown.
And also, if you look at the Stranglers, that sound, they were called the Guildford Stranglers, remember? They changed their name. Guess who opened for the Stranglers? You too.
Oh, I was going to say Jack the Ripper, but that would have been terrible. Yes.
Yeah, you too. They and the Stranglers had their own little dressing rooms in the back, and you too, Bono had to get undressed behind the speaker stacks, you know. So it's quite a nice little story there. Rattusnor
Vegetus. Do you know where I heard A Town Called Malice? There was a CD called Powerhouse. Or something?
Oh, I released a long time ago. I'm still living off the royalties, can't you see?
Are you? Yeah.
I've got a shirt with sleeves on now, so the royalties paid out.
Oh, well done.
Only this week.
Oh, fantastic.
Do you still have some of those in your collection? I mean, really? Did you buy that? I could have given it to you if I knew you.
Yeah, but you didn't know me then because I was still at school and that would have been weird.
Okay, so being at school, what were you doing listening to? Before we get into your comedy side, your funny side, at school... what kind of stuff did you do? The music you listened to, the friends you used to hang out with? Did you go to the drive-in in your day?
Not like that.
Oh.
I went to the drive-in like with my parents.
Oh.
Which was awkward because we'd be like, guys, can you stop it? We're trying to watch the movie. And then, the music when I was at school was when the big grunge thing hit. And then everyone was like a punk or a skinhead or and people going to Alcatraz. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other place?
There was a place called DV8, and that was before your time, I think.
It was before my time. But then we used to go see you in some place in Randburg, above Bugsy Malone's pizza spot. I forget what it's called. But anyway, so even though I liked the music, I just couldn't bring myself to wear like tight jeans and a lumberjack shirt or anything. And I also liked the other side of the music. Like I liked the two Unlimiteds, believe it or not, of the world. And I still like hip-hop and techno and stuff.
On your walls, in your bedroom, explain to everybody what your bedroom looked like as a teenager.
Liverpool everywhere.
Everywhere. Flags.
Everywhere. No flags. We didn't get flags in those days. It was just, but you could get the Shoot and Match magazine that was imported from England that you got like 3 months later. And just like any poster or picture was that was remotely Liverpool was pulled out and stuck on my wall.
Any naughty magazines under the mattress?
Yeah, of course.
Comics. Sad Sack.
Scope. Do you remember Scope magazine?
You know, I was in the army and we used to take razor blades. Did you do it as well? And then we used to scratch the little...
The stars.
The stars off
I one of the guys at school told me this rumor that if you took nail polish remover, you can actually wash
now
the stars off.
Now you tell me.
It didn't work. It just washed the whole picture off and it like ruined it because now you're like getting all excited about a smudge, which has screwed me up for later years. But there was a thing because then when I got to like sort of standard 9, then we were all free and everything and censorship came to an end. And then you got proper magazines. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And there was one that was wonderful. It was a bilingual magazine and it was called In Afrikaans. Krop in cake, and in English, scratch and sniff. I promise you. And so it was these women, you know, with those like that scratch card material on it, and you could like take a coin and then you scratch it and then you saw naughty bits. It was fabulous.
Have you still got those somewhere?
No.
You're married now, yeah.
Well, I mean, now I've got the internet. But I think it was never spoken about, but I think my mom found them and threw them away. She never mentioned it to me, but one day my entire hidden collection went missing.
And you thought it was your dad.
If only it was my dad. No, because he wouldn't have got rid of them. He would have just kept them there. No, but it was because I thought I'd be clever and just hide them in the open. So I had this like massive collection, as I said, of Match and Shoot magazines, and I just kind of stuck the other ones in the middle of those. And then one day they were just gone.
Tell me the vibe on a Sunday. The whole family, you got how many sisters? One sister, two?
Two sisters, one brother.
One brother. All of you on a Sunday. Mom, dad. What did you do on Sundays as a family?
Sunday lunch. I want to say the word religiously, but that would be almost every Sunday. And then growing up, my grandparents used to come down from Pretoria and they would join us and then we'd have like a roast and then we'd sit there and have proper Sunday lunch, go to church. Mm. We went to Rhema with those people. And then after church, we'd have a Sunday lunch, like a braai or a roast and sit around a table and act civilized.
Was Ray there?
No.
Macaulay.
He couldn't make it.
Okay.
He was busy with other things.
With other things, yeah. Yes. Politics.
He was finding a new wife. But we won't get into that now because we don't want your listeners to hate us yet.
Now,
tweet us. And
tweet us. Hate
tweet
us.
Me at Chris Forrest SA, at Barney Simon, and tell us if you want us to talk about Ray Macaulay.
He was a bouncer in his day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when you go to Brakpan, the bouncers there used to throw the people in. It was so rough in there.
They used to throw the people in.
You can use that when you do your next stand-up.
Fantastic. I will, and then I'll credit you.
I should say they chuck the people in, you know what I mean. Now, your vibe as well, your brothers and sisters and the whole family, your mom and dad were very strict when you were 16, 17, 18. I mean, you were a bit of a rebel
I wasn't a rebel.
Weren't you?
Not at all.
A real rebel.
No, I was a very, very good kid and like conformed, did everything I was supposed to. I wasn't very good at schoolwork. No, let me rephrase. I wasn't good at doing schoolwork, but I was clever enough to still pass without doing any. And did my thing, average, went through life. Wasn't a rebel at all.
And
very boring in those
perfect
days.
For parents, eh? Wow.
No, they had others on their hands. My brother and my second eldest sister, they did enough rebelling for all of us.
Okay. Any tattoos in your family?
No, I think my sister might have one.
Okay.
Nobody else.
And your mom and dad, what do they do, their professions?
Right now, my dad is actually, well, he's retired, but he's working as a travel guide, like as his retirement thing, because he kind of enjoys that. Mm. And then my mom, it's a very strange sounding job. She recruits people for market research focus groups.
That's easy. Do you want a day off at the office? Come with us. You
know You'd think, but it's actually quite hard because some people actually want to work and stuff.
Yeah. I went to one of those. I remember they gave us peanuts and Coke for free. They didn't pay us.
They didn't pay you?
Yeah, no. They're
supposed to pay you.
Yeah. Those were the days.
Yeah. I used to go to a lot and then now I can't anymore.
Not allowed to, I know.
Yes. Well, even if my mom's involved, then you're not allowed to anyway. But
hey. Yeah, we got fans waving. You see, they recognize you from the stage, not television, because they don't have DSTV.
They recognize me because that's the banks.
Okay.
Friends of mine from a long time.
Okay.
Yes. What were we talking about?
We were talking about your parents and just family at home, chilling, whatever. You weren't naughty. At school, how did you – were you very quiet at school? Like you said, you weren't naughty or whatever, but then you got bullied while you were in school. That must have been a horrible thing because it's happening all over the place. And
not really. It was like – I mean, I learned to stick up for myself. I started growing. I only got bullied in the first couple of years when I was very small compared to everyone else. I enjoyed school. John was a really cool school with really cool guys going there, and we used to just play football on the field sort of most of the day, or we'd bunk and go up to Bromfontein. And there's a place there called Sweeney Tots. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
And Wings Beat Bar.
Oh, Wings Beat Bar, oh yes.
So we had workshop on a Friday. So kind of the last six periods on every Friday was workshop, and so we'd just end up going to Sweeney Tots or Wings and maybe enjoying a couple of cold drinks.
Did you ever think of joining a band or something when you were at high school?
No.
I can just see you as the lead singer, you know, of a good rock band or something. I don't know.
Do you see what happened is I actually hated doing music. And there's a reason. There's a reason I hated it. It's because when I was in standard six, well, actually right from a very young age, my mom was a bit worried that if we went to the border to kill people, that would like not be cool. So what she did is she said, if you learn to play music, then you can be in the army band. And so she like made us play music from quite a young age. So when you're forced to do something, it's never that cool. So I never really enjoyed it. And then I released an album many years later.
A rap album, I believe.
A rap album, that's right.
Barney and Friends. Barney Simon. Jacaranda